This is Dr. Chibb, that's Data Prince Alex. Welcome to the Blue Collar Dynasty Podcast.
We're busting our backs, getting our jeans dirty, and playing next man up dynasty football. We're giving you in the trenches dynasty talk every week. Please reach out to us on Instagram at Blue Collar Dynasty, where you can get sneak previews of the things to come, and on Twitter at Born Football. That's BORNE football. We'd love to hear from you.
All right, this week we are talking changing trends. Hot trades, starts of the week. Let's get to it.
All righty. So, starting with changing trends, I had a few that I wanted to bring to our discussion here. Starting with Pittsburgh Steelers. There's a lot of things in motion with this team, and I think it's important to take a look since there's a lot of fantasy relevant players on this roster. You've got Deontay Johnson, George Pickens, Pat Freiermuth, and their running back room, Najee Harris, as well as their new guy, who's kind of been a little bit more involved this year, Jaylen Warren. So, and of course their QB, who's probably the Kenny Pickett, who's probably the least fantasy relevant of all of them. Deontay Johnson is back. He came back last week. Pat Freiermuth is now on IR, at least for a little bit. So that'll be interesting from the perspective of who the next tight end up is. Projections say Connor Hayward. Darnell Washington is an interesting rookie. We really liked him coming out of school, but he's pretty raw. So I guess my initial thought is with Deontay Johnson back and the running backs by committee, it basically both of those positions, running back and wide receiver, really should be considered by committee. And there are points to be had here with Pat Freiermuth out, but the ceilings are relatively low for all of our fantasy assets. I also left one wide receiver. I left a couple wide receivers out in Allen Robinson and Calvin Austin, who have had some good games this year. So you got four wide receivers that you kind of like, to varying extents, and then two running backs. So that's six guys that all of this fantasy somewhat goodness is split between. Since it is Kenny, it all has to run through Kenny Pickett, who that's not necessarily a good thing. So I guess where are you valuing these guys in each position? Who's the better guy to have at this point in the season?
You know, it's funny, as you're talking, I'm like, I haven't watched any Pittsburgh games, number one. But number two is all I'm hearing out of Pittsburgh is fire Matt Canada. So I'm saying, who cares if it's running back by committee? Do we even like the offense? You know, the whole offensive philosophy, like, what is their philosophy? I have no idea in that regards. So it's going to be hard for me to say, okay, who do I want? I have Calvin Austin on my team. Honestly, he's produced nothing for me. So
Yeah, I don't think he's a guy that you can start at all. He had one good game against Las Vegas because he caught a bomb touchdown, but that's about it, and that's kind of the player he is. So
can
I do
you
think
trust
you're
any
right.
of them though in that offense?
Yeah, I mean, that was my question for you too. And I think we got our answer, is that we're both asking the question and we're kind of stuck on it because I don't think we do have any trust for any of them. George Pickens has had two good games in a row, three good games all season. Kind of been, the other ones haven't killed you, but there's a 3-point game in there that kind of sucks. Deontay Johnson has been out, and he really hasn't done much. He's never topped more than 11 points this season, and that's only out of two games. One of them he got injured partway through, so, and one's the game that he came back. So I think in my mind, at least, the wide receivers are the most valuable pieces here because they're going to be playing from behind. But I do think I think Najee Harris and Jaylen Warren are RB3s moving forward, and that's easy to say, but because they actually have been RB3s already, low end, fairly low end RB3s. Najee Harris at running back 33, Jaylen Warren at running back 30. I think they stay right there for the rest of the season, you know, kind of producing steady points. I bet you they probably both end up maybe running back 28 and 29 ish. They might move up slightly. And the only reason for that is consistency. I think they're going to keep each other pretty healthy. And yeah, and just keep going the way they're going. So why don't we move on
I
to
didn't even think about the situational aspect. I just like I hate their offense. I don't want any of them on my team. But you're looking at the situation and saying that playing on a bad team can be good for fantasy because if you're playing from behind, and they gotta sling the ball a lot, then you're gonna get a lot of opportunity. That's pretty good perception.
Important. A lot of garbage time, points to be had there. For the Atlanta Falcons, they're kind of a harder nut to crack. There's definitely been some changes, I would say. We've seen this team develop, and I don't know if it's a good thing or a bad thing. So you look at Desmond Ridder, and he's passed for over 200 yards each of the past six games, with two of those games being above 300, right? We're seeing a little bit more rushing in the recent weeks, but the interceptions are piling up. We had three fumbles last game, and still not a lot of passing touchdowns to be had. So everything's changed, and yet nothing's changed. We still have absolute top caliber talents like Bijan Robinson getting basically 0 points in a game.
Drake London.
Drake London gets some of the had one of those. You know, Kyle Pitts gets some every once in a while. To be honest, one of the better players on this team so far has been the second tight end, freaking Jonnu Smith, you know, who I have in our league because I picked him up just out of, you know, well, someone's got to grab him. I mean, he's the tight end 11 on the year. It's kind of ridiculous.
It's funny because I
And
almost grabbed him.
yeah, you should have, except the only issue is you would have been then starting like five tight ends, I think, which I don't know if you can actually in your in our league, but you would have tried.
I would have started him over in Joku.
Fair.
Or put him in my flex. But probably not because it's just trash.
Stuff. I think so. My thought process here is that you can start and you should start Bijan Robinson. That's a given. I think the last game he had a migraine type of issue going on, and they ended up sitting him. You know, they've got good running back depth, so they really didn't need him. Tyler Allgeier did well in his replacement, so you'll see
Someone
things
said
like that.
that was fishy, by the way.
You know, it maybe, yeah,
They
I've
think
heard.
someone thinks it's a concussion and they're trying to like hide it. I say it's a migraine.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. Scary if that's the case, you know.
That's true. But go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know why they'd be hiding it and yet like taking him off the field. Like if that's the case, if you're really trying to hide a might or a hide a concussion, you probably would just stick him out there, right? I mean, otherwise, why would you not put him in the concussion protocol? I don't know.
That makes sense.
Because the concussion protocol typically takes about 7 days. I mean, you kind of, if you get a concussion on a Sunday, you're usually okay. You've got a shot to get back for the next game. So,
True.
I don't know. It's definitely a weird situation, and I would just put it in the bucket of if you're playing one of these guys, again, your ceiling is kind of low, similar to Steelers, but more importantly, you got to be ready for a zero because some weird things are going to happen with this team. They make decisions not in the normal course of what other teams do. They're not in the standard variation of decision making, I would say
I feel
somehow.
like your tone with the Falcons has changed a little since we started the year.
It has, and actually, it's changed with both of these teams. I mean, these two teams are ones that I kind of was hoping, and I was higher on, and I was hoping that we would see good things in development from these teams, and in some ways, we're right where we started with them not doing so well. But at the same time, we've seen fantasy points here. You know, we've seen good games out of Desmond Ridder. He had almost 30 points in one game, and it was a bad matchup. It was against Houston, so like it's not like there aren't points to be had here. He's got 3 games in the top 12 at quarterback, so there's points here, right? It's just a matter of if you're willing to take the risk of in our league, which again, quarterback points in our league are a little weird. He had negative points in one game, and that was against Detroit, which is a, I would think it would be a great matchup. So Desmond Ridder, some value there, a lot of risk. Bijan Robinson, I don't think there's actually that much risk in Bijan Robinson. He's the running back 11 on the year. Really hasn't had that blow up game though. He's had 21 points, and that's about the ma that is his max so far. So he's actually kind of been trending downward, Bijan Robinson. So kind of interesting. And we've seen good things out of Drake London, but his cap has been 17 points. So, there's some good fantasy points, but there's quite a ceiling. Kyle Pitts' highest game, 12.3. Even Jonnu Smith was capped at 12.5. So, none of these, you're probably not getting 20 points out of these guys. You're kind of in a lower tier, and the floor might fall out. So just be aware. Kind of nothing, not, none of those things that you want in a fantasy player. So really in that running back and wide receiver three categories for basically all of them. Though hopefully Bijan gets better and does better moving forward. Moving off of running backs, or bouncing into the rest of running backs, I should say. We have had a bit of a running back roller coaster going through the season. We always have this where people get on and off the roller coaster midway through. You get really high on some guys, you get really low on them, and then they come back around and you get really high on them again. And that just sort of happens with all of the injuries and started. You're kind of trying to start whatever running backs are actually active for that week. Even if their, name is Joe Schmo, you're playing them if they're a starting running back and you don't have a wealth of talent at the position. So just to kind of go through some of the names we're talking about here in terms of names that we definitely weren't excited about when the year started. Raheem Mostert has been pretty good since the year started. He wasn't really highly talked up. DeAndre Swift, of course, came up. Jonathan Taylor is back in the mix. David Montgomery has really shown up. Jahmyr Gibbs finally popped on the scene. I look at Kareem Hunt is back. We're excited to see him back in the mix. Gus Edwards is doing his thing. Donta Foreman is someone in the on the fantasy radar. He just had a 33-point game for
I was like,
Chicago.
man, I came up.
Yeah,
He's
he
taken
is
in
a
our league,
guy.
isn't
What's that?
he? He's taken in our league, right?
Yeah. He's a guy that if I ever see him as a starter, I've seen him do really good things as a starter, so I'm ready to throw him right into the mix. Darrell Henderson is back from the dead. He was booted off the Rams a while back, and then they brought him back, and all of a sudden he had a great game. Almost 15 points in that game.
Oh, you know who I need to pick up just as you're talking? Cam Akers.
I don't know that he's
He's available.
not available. He's still rostered. Wasn't dumped yet. And then Amari DiMercato. DiMercato. Yeah, that's how you
Demarcado.
say that. Yeah, DiMercato. So on Arizona, he's a rookie, just popped out. He's had two good games, decent games, and a bad game. So he kind of
Is he
disappeared.
available?
He is not available.
Damn.
Chuba Hubbard, a guy that came back from, I mean, he's been around. He's just their backup in Carolina. Jaylen Warren kind of creeping onto the scene. Latavius Murray still sticking around. He's the RB44 on the year. There's not a single week that was above 11 points, so you're not necessarily excited about starting him. So I just think it's interesting, and it's worth keeping in mind that, like, things ebb and flow. Like, Zach Moss is still the RB5 on the year, hasn't really had a horrible game yet, other than week one, but he's trending down with Jonathan Taylor back. So these things change. Just keep yourself updated on who's starting where, and keep an eye on the waivers as soon as you can see somebody that's a starter, grab them, stick them in your lineup. There's also a lot of good QB options out there, guys with high ceilings, low floors, or high ceilings, high floors.
By who?
So if you're looking at, and I'm not looking at people that are on our waivers, but there's, okay, so listing them off, Jared Goff, Tua Tagovailoa, and I'm starting at like number six here. Trevor Lawrence is okay, Brock Purdy's okay, Joshua Dobbs, CJ Stroud, Kirk Cousins, Jordan Love, Matthew Stafford, Derek Carr, Russell Wilson, Baker Mayfield, Sam Howell, Geno Smith,
Russell Wilson.
Daniel Jones. All of those guys, Russell Wilson has had two top 10 QB performances. And remember, this is kind of what we say about quarterbacks. They're always, you kind of got to rotate them around based upon matchups, because even the bad ones have good weeks. But like everybody that I just listed, Desmond Ridder, I'd put in that mix too. Maybe Jimmy Garoppolo is kind of the next tier down, I would say. But like that whole tier of quarterback is matchup dependent in my mind. They are worth playing if they've got a decent matchup. And I think it's important to keep that in mind, that a lot of these guys can be used. One specific player I wanted to point out, Derrick Henry is being reduced. King Henry is not what he used to be, at least so far in the season. Maybe they're just holding him for better things to come. He's still the RB13 on the year, so he's not dead yet by
He
any
might be
means.
in the trade block, honestly.
Maybe that's not a bad idea for them, but He's having good games, but he's they're going into the bye, and he's only seeing 50, like 50 to 65% of the snaps every week. Meanwhile, Tajay Spears, the backup, is at 50% plus every week. So what's happening? They're either on this field together or for the most part, they're just 50-50 timeshare. So far, Derrick Henry's getting the better half of that, probably more carries during that time. Last week, 12 carries to Tajay Spears is Tajay Spears is looking at four carries, right? So, whereas Tajay Spears had one reception for 48 yards, which really helped them get better fantasy points. But just be aware, Tajay Spears is involved here and is taking work from Derrick Henry. So we might see more from him moving forward. He is a rookie, and there's other rookies showing up. So I wanted to name a few of them. Should maybe just comment on these guys as far as who you're ready to start, and not necessarily on your team, but who you're ready to start on, like on immediate, like some halfway between you and I in our league.
Oh,
Okay.
that was a thing? Okay. Okay.
Not a purposeful dig. I'm just trying to
When
help give
I
you
get
an
some,
idea of what.
when I get right, I'm gonna be talking my joint. Don't worry, I'll be talking it. Have at it. Have at it while you can.
I sure hope you do.
There
If
you
you're
go.
gonna if you're gonna talk your shit,
I'm a talking.
A great man once said that. You
It's
know
a
who that was?
podcast. I ain't talking. It's talking about.
Yeah. It was Travis Kelce. Yep. All right, rookies. Jordan Addison. He's been consistently good for 3 weeks straight. He's had literally only one bad game. Are we starting him?
That, you know, it's funny. I said that the Justin Jefferson injury might be a blessing in disguise. Because it's gonna force this kid to be wide receiver one on the team and see what he can do.
Yeah, and I
And
think
he's doing
he's
well.
doing well. Yeah, I think it's good things. So definitely a starter in my book. Yeah, I'm sure I will say I've got so many middle like I've got so many wide receivers that are like wide receiver twos, back end wide receiver ones every week, and one of them is Jordan Addison, and I always struggle with trying to figure out who I'm going to throw in my lineup because you know they're not all going to be good, but it's hard to pin down who that good player is going to be. Josh Downs is the next player. Indianapolis, kind of a slot guy. So he's had three good games, 12.7, 10.6, and 23-point games. So he just exploded with the 23 points, and that's against Cleveland. So not something that I would, look away from, or ignore, I should say. Wide receiver three last week, overall, which is pretty crazy. So this is a guy that, yeah, should be on your radar. I think he's a flex option, really. It's what we're looking at here. But definitely someone to keep an eye on, and feel comfortable sticking him in your lineup. Rashee Rice on Kansas City.
Yep.
This guy is it's see I, okay m part
He's
of my
gonna be
issue
real
is
good. I'm not gonna lie to y'all.
he's gonna be real good. I can't necessarily say he's the real deal yet, but he is by far the wide receiver to own on Kansas City. That I can say for sure.
Yeah, that's true.
So another I would say he's a flex option. I wouldn't put more on the kid, but flex option. Jahmyr Gibbs, this is a guy that is probably being that he just had his first real extraordinary game. Let's see, he had 24 points. Glad to see that. Let's see if he can do it with David Montgomery on the field too. That's my only concern there.
You know what's funny? I watched him play for the first time this year. And he looked fantastic.
Yeah,
Like,
he
he really
looks good
did.
on the
That's his...
field. They've been
Yeah, like...
underutilizing him. That's the problem.
Yes, and he's a good cat. He can catch it, right? He's finding his holes. He's being patient. Like, it's good, right? And so I forgot that David Montgomery was even on that team. But they definitely got to use him a little more, Jahmyr Gibbs.
Well, and the tough part too is this game where Jahmyr Gibbs did well is a game that they lost horribly. So it does make me wonder if they're gonna decide, hey, you know what we did last week with Jahmyr Gibbs, that's not working. And what did they do with Jahmyr Gibbs last week? They targeted him 10 times. He caught 9 of those balls. And that was only 58 yards. So that's part of it, is he was just basically a dump off machine. He did have 11 rushes, with 6 yards per carry. So he's running well. So I really hope that they continue to use this guy. Just
Well,
maybe,
I listened to the
maybe.
coach's press conference, and he said that the game plan, there was nothing wrong with their game plan. It was their execution, and he took blame for that. He said he really liked the game plan. He likes what it is. He said he's going to be doing that again. So I think it's just more about getting comfortable with that game plan for that team and being mentally ready to execute. I think that's what he was trying to insinuate. So I'm hoping they do use him more, because he was also injured earlier. So maybe they were just easing him back into the game a little bit, and they always expected to make him more of a featured player.
Yeah, could be. The next guy, and by the way, this list is really mostly players that are, I would say, haven't ex other than Jordan Addison, I think, did explode onto the scene week one, basically. But like Zay Flowers, for example, isn't on my list here because he's been kind of fantasy relevant from the get go. Puka Nacua, same kind of a thing. And it's really, CJ Stroud, Bijan Robinson, those guys I kind of ignored in this exercise. Same Sam Laporta, another name. But Michael Wilson is involved. He's a name to keep an eye on because he's seeing some looks. He's on the field. I'm trying to find the number here. He's on the field 83 or 88% of snaps. I mean, week one, he was 90% snap share. So he's on the field. I'm a little bit worried about his lack of targets. And that I think would be kind of the concern moving forward with him. If he's not able to draw targets while he's out there, we might have a problem. I do think, we're seeing about 3 to 4 targets a game, with a high of 7. So there's some room to grow with Michael Wilson, but we need to see some better things out of him. Next guy, Jaden Reed. He's in kind of a young and crowded wide receiver core in Green Bay, he's flashed. He's flashed. I do think we're going to see bigger and better things out of him as time goes on. How about your guy, JSN? Flashed for the first time this past week. We happy or what?
What did I tell you last week?
Well, you had him as your start of the week. And so I'm assuming you probably said he'd be good.
Hate you.
It's Is that not the setup you wanted?
I said that the Seahawks game plan has been to integrate him more. He's going to be more of a focus in the offense, and you're going to see that. And that's what you saw, right? And he would have had more points. I forget what happened. He went through a pick. Oh my God. Anyway, he would have had more points even and had a great performance, not just good. A couple more things went right. But he's getting more comfortable now in the situation, and they're using him differently. So that's why I was saying, remember in the beginning of the year, we talked about, how does the type of coaching affect the fantasy points certain players are having? This is one of the reasons why I wanted to see those numbers, is because they changed the way they're using him. They changed their offensive kind of style with him, and therefore, he's not performing better. And Lockett's also performing even better in that same system. So anyway, sorry.
No, you're good. You're good. Yeah, no, I totally agree. I'm glad to see JSN is finally showing up. I'm gonna skip a few guys on my list just to stay with the Seahawks because he wasn't the only rookie wide receiver to show up. Do you want to say his name or do you want me to?
Oh, Jake Bobo, my guy.
Yeah, you
He's
really
a
liked
tight
him
end.
coming out.
Yeah, I love him coming out. And now you see why. Did you see that catch? Was a throw. That's why I don't get mad at Geno too much, because he can do throws like that.
Yeah,
So, but that
pretty
catch,
incredible.
man. Listen, that was the most improbable catch of an NFL season so far. There's only a 15% chance of catching it, and that boy caught it. That's Jake
Wow.
Bubble for you. So stop playing with me. Anyway, yeah, amazing. I think, and once again, he's getting more comfortable in the offense. He's tall. They're gonna start using him more in the end zone. I'll be honest. It's hard for me to say this, but I don't think DK is as good as I thought he was.
Oh no. Uh-oh. We're out on DK.
I'm not
We're going
out
to
on him.
s
I'm not out on him.
You know what?
I think he
I
needs to
hear you
focus
loud
more
and
on catching
clear.
them.
We need to bench DK and put Jake Bobo out there in front
Oh, no. I didn't say that.
of him.
I didn't say that. What I'm trying to say is, I think DK needs to focus more on catching the ball than hitting people.
But I'm sure the running backs appreciate it, you know?
Yeah, they do. I mean, he knows how to block, all that stuff. They do love it. But
You know, I got a plan for DK. Put him at CB.
I think
He
we're
can
good
do
on
all the
that.
hitting as he wants. He'd actually be probably a better safety.
Probably, honestly.
Be kind
He'll
of
be amazing to
scary, but
see. Yeah, he'll get
yeah.
fined a lot, though.
Oh yeah.
The fine for hitting, he'll be like, you hitting too hard.
Yeah. Stop it. You're gonna break your own shoulders. What are you doing?
So no, but yeah, Jake Bobo, great game. I mean, I'm hoping that this becomes more evident of like what they're gonna, how they're gonna use him as well, and how they're gonna, or more evident of like you have running back by committee, wide receiver by committee.
Right.
So.
Yeah, which I don't know that that's good for fantasy, to be honest. That kind of would scare me off of some of these guys, but there's, you know, that's what we've been saying from the beginning about Seattle is that there's so many good options. It's hard to trust that, you know, that you're going to get those ceiling games out of your guys, but you'd rather the team have a higher ceiling, bigger pie than have what you have in Atlanta and Pittsburgh, where you've got a smaller pie and fewer guys, but the pie is still, you know, it's the same kind of, it ends up being about the same kind of thing, but the pie is smaller, so the ceiling's lower, you know.
Yes.
In
Or
Seattle, at least the ceiling's a little higher.
true. And I was also just strategically is not, it's probably not good for the defense either, because I don't think the defense would be there too fast. Like, you're gonna have to slow the game down a little bit so they get a little bit of a rest. So that also makes it hard, because I was gonna say, if you're slinging it, you're scoring fast, so you're getting the ball to multiple people. The sheer volume should be able to be enough for fantasy. But then as I think about it, I'm like, yeah, it probably wouldn't be good strategically and for winning a game though. So I agree with you at the end.
So we already talked a little bit about Amari DiMicato. Oh my gosh, that last name is killing me, man. But he's started to flash in Arizona. Dalton Kincaid had his first good game for the Bills. We'll see if that growth continues, because right now the biggest thing for the Bills, it's basically Stephon Diggs and who else? There's somebody missing in this offense, and it's wide receiver two, I think. So, we really need
It's
somebody to step
funny.
up in Buffalo.
You should talk more about that, because it's confusing me why Buffalo isn't dominating certain games. I wonder, so what is missing?
Well, that's the thing, is that it really, so you look at a game like New England, and what is the defensive game plan that Bill Belichick always has? He takes away your number one weapon.
Yep.
So you take away Stephon Diggs, which they did a pretty good job of, until he got away and scored a touchdown. They maybe need to work on their tackling. But the yeah, so they did a good job of taking him away, which meant, okay, everybody else needs to step up. I gotta look at it, but I watched this game. I don't remember a single Gabe Davis catch. And that's because he only had one. I just looked it up. He had five targets, one catch. That's the problem. That's the problem right there. Now, I will say, Josh Allen missed quite a number of deep throws. So there was a few opportunities that we had that, would have just blown the roof off the game. And, high percentage plays, or sorry, low percent, high yardage plays, those do tend to have high variance, right? So that's kind of what we see out of Josh Allen, is he's got a lot of the deep ball in his game. So we're going to see a little bit of up and down throughout the ceiling or throughout the season. It's really a matter of making sure that we kind of focus on what's in front of us. And that's kind of been the issue with Josh all year, with all of the picks that he's had. Honestly, as a Bills fan, my thought process right now is, like, what will be will be. Like, I just gotta feel excitement when we're doing well, and not let it hurt us, or not let it hurt me when we're throwing away a game against, oh, I think they had one or two wins coming into this week. Throwing away that kind of a easy win, their theoretical easy win. Yeah, I mean, I guess that's where my head is at, is this is a roller coaster with Josh Allen, and that's especially when we don't have a second weapon, and we just gotta enjoy the highs and try to ignore the lows, because this is the world we live in, and he's too good of a quarterback to just not have on your team, and his highs are going to possibly lead you to a Super Bowl, but you gotta get some consistency in there. Or just hope the ball bounces right. It's one of those things where you're damned if you do, damned if you don't. If you get rid of a quarterback like Josh Allen, he's gonna find success with another team. If you ride it out, you may or may not ever see what you want to see out of your team, which is a Super Bowl.
You know what's the
So
funny
that's
part? We thought he was going to focus more on the tight. Well, I thought he was going to focus more on the tight ends to reduce his risks, right? And hopefully increase his success rate. Because he's playing like Brett Favre, honestly.
Well, and that's his that I think was the plan, was using the tight ends. And I will say he has used the tight end more. It's been Dawson Knox for the most part. You know, he's definitely used them quite a bit, but it's, I don't know. They're just not the tight end plays have been, they've been there, but they haven't been big plays. They've been like 10 yarders. Just fine. Take what the defense gives you. But I just don't think we go there often enough. You know, I mean, we saw a little bit of it in the fourth quarter of this game when we were trying to come back. And, you know, Kincaid had his great game because he just kept getting the ball. You know, it was like three times in one possession that Kincaid caught the ball and got us a first down. You know, and he was good at it. He was good at like forcing the issue with defenses and, you know, actually pushing the defenders over the first down marker to get the first down. So it's not like these guys aren't good. It's not like they're not out there. But my issue is I think Gabe Davis has taken up too many spots on the field. It's just one. It's just one.
Here's my question. If you could add a second wide receiver, who would it be?
You're saying anybody in the whole NFL?
Yeah. Give me one that's like unrealistic, maybe, and then one that's realistic.
Okay. I've got two on the same team that are probably the same level of, I don't know. I feel like one's a little bit more realistic than the other. Let's put it that way. But would still be like jaw-dropping trade. More unrealistic, Ja'Marr Chase, right? Never happening.
Yeah, that's not happening.
Yeah. More realistic, T. Higgins. He's in a contract year, and they're currently last in their division. What if they just give up on this year?
That's true. That's really good insight like that.
Pew pew.
It's raining where I'm at. Can you hear it?
Nope, you're good.
Oh, perfect.
All right. So we've spent more time than I wanted to on this, but to wrap up the rookie section here, DeMario Douglas on New England really showed up. So he's a good name to watch out for. They just kept calling his name in the game last week.
What
And then
position?
Jalen, wide receiver.
Gotcha.
And then Jalen Hyatt also did show up, did flash for the Giants. So good to see them showing up on the box score, and we'll continue to watch them. If they are, DeMario Douglas might be on the waivers. So he's a guy that's worth checking on. And just to make sure, because he was kind of in the back end of the rookie drafts, just make sure that he's not out there and that you can't pick him up. Don't worry, Chib. In our league,
I'm trying to pull up my brain now.
he's already on the best team in the league, so sorry about that.
Man, you were just so ch you're a thief.
I'm not talking about my team, unfortunately. I'm not the best this
Damn.
year. All right. Let's talk about start of the week. So we can review the week seven guys. I'll read through them. You'll laugh. I'll cry. Spoiler alert. Chib chose Sam Howell versus the Giants. That was bad. I don't feel
Oh.
too happy about it because I also started him in a league and I experienced that bad game. I still got the win though, so that's something. Running back Deonta Foreman, what the hell, dude? You freaking called this one. That was great. And I, yeah, hats off to you. That was a good call.
Thank you. Thank
Jackson
you.
Smith and Jigba, another good call. Kind of two calls that honestly, the Deonta Foreman one, again, my policy with him is if he's the starter, he's locked and loaded in your lineup. But it's still a good to it was a good call for that week. Because he kind of came out of nowhere. And then Jackson Smith and Jigba again feels like it came out of nowhere because we've been waiting for a while. Dawson Knox, unfortunately, this was the week that Kincaid decided to be better than Dawson Knox for the first time this year. So that was not great. The Seattle Seahawks defense was good against the Cardinals, and your Matt Gay kicker against the Browns was only okay. So that gave you 1 point and did give you the win over me. I had quarterback Baker Mayfield. He was okay. Running back Kareem Hunt versus Indianapolis. That was good. So I'm proud of that call myself. I was pretty happy to see him doing well. Not enough, not good enough to get the great, but good enough to get the good. Wide receiver Zay Flowers was good. That was kind of maybe a little bit of a cheat pick there from me, but he was rated pretty low in the standings. Tight end Luke Musgrave, I heard apparently he got absolutely shouted at in week six by his coach and Matt LaFleur. And I probably wouldn't have selected him if I'd known that going into the Denver game. So he was not great. Defense Rams versus Pittsburgh, not great. And Anders Carlson versus Denver, not great. Honestly, when I was, I felt good about this about halfway through, you know, figuring out how everybody did. I came out of the quarterback, running back, and wide receiver positions with a plus two. And now, usually the way this works is our defenses and our kickers save our butts. And, you know, I took the hit on Luke Musgrave, but I was like, all right, I've got a plus one here. You know, surely my defense and kicker gave me at least a point. And nope, they both took a point from me, and I got negative one. So, little disappointed in my defense and kickers. You know, I think I'm honestly, I feel like a plane with one wing right now when it comes to choosing defenses and kickers. So, that's about where I'm at. Let's talk about our week eight guys. Who you want me to read off you guys?
Nothing.
You got them?
The back I got is Geno Smith. You know, yeah. You hear me?
Yep, I can hear you. Keep going. You're good.
Quarterback I got is Geno Smith versus the Browns. He's been throwing some picks every game now, but I'm gonna give him some good energy. You know, good juju. So hopefully he doesn't do that. And then running back I got Mario Democardo versus Baltimore. Right, he's the running back on Arizona. He's been quite interesting. So I'm like, yeah, I'd like to see what else he can do. Baltimore has a great defense. I mean, to me, they have a great defense, but I know based on fantasy, they don't. So we'll see. Next, I pick Calvin Ridley versus Pittsburgh. He's been streaky all year, but I'm just more being hopeful that, you know, he's gonna have a good one. Next tight end, I got Dalton Schultz versus the Panthers. The Panthers are so trash, so I'm kind of hoping that Dalton Schultz will do something. And he's on the Houston Rock Rockets, Houston Texans. So I'm thinking, you know, CJ, you know, give him a little love. All right. And so the next one I got defense wise, I got the Ravens. I just said before, I think they're really great. In fantasy, they're trash, but I think they'll do something for me this week. All right. And then we got next my kicker, Brandon Aubrey. He's coming off a bye week, so I'm hoping his legs are fresh. And he's excited to kick, and I'm hoping that the Cowboys offense, they're bad in the red zone, so I'm hoping that just gives him more opportunity. They get down there, but they're just bad in the red zone, so I'm hoping to give them more opportunity to get some field goals and get me some points. That's my goal there.
Gotcha. Remind us who Brandon Aubrey plays for? Dallas, right?
The Cowboys.
Yeah. He's been your favorite guy all year, I think.
I think so too,
Yeah.
Former soccer player, I'll take him.
All right, I'll go through mine. I'm pretty nervous about a good number of these, to be honest with
Yeah,
you.
me
So,
too. I was looking at them like, what?
yeah. I mean, honestly, I like your picks better than mine. Amari DiMercato and Mercado. Oh my gosh. Calvin Ridley. I like those guys on your team, and I always look at the running backs and wide receivers as like kind of the core of this whole thing. Kind of make or break. Yeah. All right. Quarterback Jordan Love versus Minnesota. I know Jordan Love has been struggling. This is kind of a thought that he can do better. We've seen good things out of Jordan Love. Minnesota's defense absolutely sucks. So I gotta think if he's gonna have a good game, gonna be against Minnesota.
Does their
And
defense suck?
Minnesota,
Yeah.
yeah, they've been really bad. Especially for against quarterbacks. You know, and they are in Lambeau, so hopefully that'll help. The next running back, all right. I know Jeff Wilson came back last week and he didn't do much. I think they were just easing him in though. And my hope is against New England, he shows up in a big way. So Jeff Wilson versus New England. He's a running back for Miami for those that don't know. So he's my start at running back. At wide receiver, this guy did really well last week and he's actually been pretty consistent ever since Mike Williams went out. Joshua Palmer versus Chicago. I think he has a good game again. Tight end Hunter Henry. I'm gonna go back to him. I do think he's better than what we've seen of late. Unfortunately, Gesicki got the touchdown last week. But I think Hunter Henry's good enough to get some fantasy points here against Miami. Defense, Houston versus Carolina. I really am liking Houston's defense this year. And against the rookie Bryce Young in Carolina, I really like that matchup. Kicker Younghoe Koo, one of my favorite kickers, not just because of his name, but also because Atlanta, like you said about Dallas, really not great in the red zone. So we like to get those kicker points in Atlanta. So they are playing Tennessee. All right. Any comments on any of my guys?
No, I was. You said in the beginning you don't really like most of your guys, and I was saying the same thing. Like, I don't know what he's picking, but maybe he sees something I don't see. Let me hear him out, and you don't see anything, so we'll see what happens.
Well, and I think I am confident about Joshua Palmer and Jeff Wilson and Jordan Love and Hunter Henry, I think have the opportunity. It's just a matter of if they're going to step into it. You know, I don't know. I guess we're trying to get people to listen to us, right? So we should probably say that we feel good about these guys.
Well, I just
I
feel
mean,
like the Vikings are not in it to tank. I feel like
yeah.
they're like, no, we gotta ruin some people's seasons. I think they want their division. You know, they want to be alive. And after that big win against San Francisco, I know most teams lose after beating playing San Francisco, but a lot of times they lose because they're so depressed from the beating that they just took, right? But they just beat them, so I think they're gonna be riding a high potentially, especially on Monday
Yeah.
Night Football where they beat them. So that's one. And then with Jeff Wilson, I just didn't see anything from him in the last game. I know it was against the Eagles, which is like, yeah, you're asking for a lot, but I'm also a little nervous about how much they're going to utilize him. But we'll see. We'll see. They might use him a lot more.
Yeah,
And
I
then
think they inched him back.
Yeah. And then with Hunter Henry, he's like, I don't know, man. This Patriots offense, I don't, they don't really use him like that. And so
You
those are
know,
the three I was nervous about.
it's funny because they did use him like that in the first two games, and then they moved away from him.
Yes, that's why I'm more confused.
Yeah, and it's weird though because Mike Gesicki got the touchdown last week, and
Yep.
I did get excited there for a second for Hunter Henry, mostly because he was on my wife's starting roster, so. I always like to cheer her on if I can.
Good husband.
I try to be. So we'll see. We'll see how they do. We do have to talk about hot trades here. So I think we're gonna freestyle this one a little bit. Let's talk about who our trendiest guys are in the league and what we would give up for them. How's that sound? So I'm going to talk about we're going to talk about veterans though. So a lot of the trendy guys are rookies. Let's talk veterans. Top trender right now, Taysom Hill, 33 years old, plays tight end and quarterback a little bit. He's currently the tight end 15. He just had his first game over 10 points. What are you trading for Taysom Hill with?
Nothing.
That's probably the best answer. Probably like a third rounder. You know?
No.
Maybe a fourth, you know.
I mean, I guess it depends on your situation, right?
Yeah, I mean if you're in a win now mode and you need a tight end, Taysom Hill's not a bad option. That's what I'd say.
Here we go. I guess yeah, that's that, I think we should let's qualify it a bit. So I guess we're when we say hot trades, I guess we're talking about people who are in win now mode, right? And
Oh
then
yeah.
also people who are in rebuild mode. I guess it means trade away and trade for. Like, would you trade this person away if you had them, if you were like in a rebuild? Like, if I was in a
Right.
rebuild, like right now, if I had Derrick Henry right now, I probably would trade him away.
And to be honest, I'd love to get Derrick Henry on my roster
Yeah.
right now. And the reason is you look at his matchups and it's green means go, man. It's all green for Derrick
Yes,
Henry
exactly.
after the there's a couple bumps before that comes, but it literally like in two games, all of a sudden it's the road is green. Another guy where that's true, much lesser guy, Kendrick Bourne, who's the wide receiver 26 on the year. He's 28. So again, kind of talking in that win now mode, but his next six games, you do have a bye week in there. Next six games are all green light. Week 15 is Kansas City, so you hope he does something there, and then he's got a green light against Denver. And then you kind of ditch them against Buffalo and New Jersey, basically New Jersey, the New York Jets, on the finish line. So, you know, he's not a high ceiling guy, but what do you think about him as a trade for target? You know, kind of a wide receiver three for a good utility option there.
I think that's great. Yeah, you set one perfectly for that situation. So I definitely would give up probably a third, most a second for him. You know,
Yeah,
I want to do say a bold one going forward, but go ahead. What were you gonna say?
no, I was agreeing with your third. I think two a second would be too hot. You'd definitely get them for a second. You know, I
Yeah,
think most people would jump on that trade for sure.
probably desperate.
So I mean, but if you need a piece, you know, he's not a bad piece to grab. Did you have a an idea for us?
Crazy one here.
Okay.
I would trade away if I was not in win now mode and I had this person on my team. I would trade away Saquon Barkley.
If you were not in win now mode.
If I was not in win now mode, like if I'm rebuilding my team and I had him.
No, I fully agree with you. That's a good trade away.
Because he's
Why
number
don't
two right
we?
now as a running back. In fantasy,
Yeah,
is he number two?
no, he's number 22.
Really?
Yeah, because he missed
But
three
his
games.
projection this week is number two. That's what it is.
Yeah. Hey, he's projected for quite a bit. What do you think about, so you've got a trade here. This is a hypothetical trade. Saquon Barkley for Travis Etienne. Add something to one of the sides. What needs to get added?
Travis Etienne. That's on the wait. He's on the Jaguars, correct?
Correct. Yep. Yeah, and he's also running back three right now on the year. So you're trading. So this is a.
But he's also had injuries before, correct?
Yep. He has gotten injured. He's a little slighter build. So I guess the question is, what is the purpose of this trade? Well, maybe you're looking at Travis Etienne, you're trying to either sell him high or get a reasonable asset for the future if you're trading for Etienne. Etienne is 24. Saquon Barkley is 26. So Saquon Barkley is kind of the more win now move.
Yeah.
However, Travis Etienne's doing better in the current place. So my thought process here is that if I were to be in on this trade, I'd want Saquon Barkley and at least a first for Travis Etienne. Because you're losing longevity and you're also losing the better player. So you might even want two firsts or a first and a second, something like that.
That's a tough one because I'm thinking to myself, I don't know what Saquon's situation is going to be in the future. And am I being scared? I'm the one trying to trade for Saquon. Am I being scared off because of his prior injury? And will he be healthy and happy, right? And so I'm thinking to myself, two firsts might be overdoing it because he is older than Etienne. But in terms of productivity, he does have a higher ceiling than Etienne, right? Because at least situationally speaking, Saquon is in a situation where he is the offense. Daniel Jones is garbage, right? And if Brian Daboll had Because I'm thinking to myself, this Dable guy, the way you speak of him especially, he's not stupid. Can we agree to that?
Brian Daboll is not stupid, no.
Okay, great. So him not being stupid, I'm pretty confident he didn't give this guy Daniel this contract. I just want to put that out there. I'm pretty sure he didn't say, yeah, let's give this guy $70 million because that's exactly what he needs, right? So
Right.
I'm pretty sure he's like, if he could have his choice, he would have Saquon and Tyrod Taylor and figured it out from there because they're doing much better with Tyrod than they
Yeah.
are with them. So
It's fair. It's fair.
that's just my take that Saquon is the offense because he is the offense. That's why he's producing so much. But Etienne is not the offense when it comes to the Jaguars. The offense is Trevor Lawrence, right? Even the best runs that the team has had all year comes from Trevor Lawrence, right? Because he can scramble. But so my point
So,
becomes you have two different situations, right? He's the commander of this offense. He is the offense. They'll go as far as he takes them. The Giants, it's Saquon. Now, if Saquon was on the Bills, that'd be different, right? So I think it's situational because, like, what if he ends up on the Bills? I'm taking, like, yeah, I'll give you two first. Because now I have an elite running back with an elite quarterback, and this is going to be scary, and
Wait,
it's
but
going to be beautiful.
you're talking about, so just to be clear, I was saying that in order to trade away Travis Etienne, you would need to give me Saquon and two firsts, or Saquon and a first and a second, to be clear.
Oh, no.
See,
No.
because so to give you an idea of Travis Etienne and his ceiling, he was the running back one against, like, running back one in fantasy overall, 37 points when he played the Bills in London. He had 26 carries, 136 yards, and two touchdowns, five catches, 48 yards, or four receptions, actually, and 48 yards. So when you're talking about a guy that has, in terms of ceiling, Travis Etienne has that ceiling this year. Again, running back three on the year. Only in his third year with the team. So he's got two more years because he's a first round pick. So he's got two more years on his contract. I think it definitely right now, if you and I are doing a trade with Travis Etienne and Saquon Barkley, I want more if I'm the ETN trader. I need more to take on Saquon Barkley. Because I
Now, what
see,
if Saquon's situation was different?
I think honestly, I don't think there's anything that you could change about Saquon's situation, like in terms of team. I don't think
What does
there's
it say for
anything
the
you could,
Ravens?
again, I don't think I'd care, because Saquon Barkley as a player right now, he's kind of injury prone. He's kind of old when it comes to a running back. And yeah, I mean that I think that's it. You know, he's good when he's out there. But he's, to me, I don't see his future past this year. And so if I'm giving up Travis Etienne, who has two more years as an elite running back, you know, I would need at least a first and a second, I'd say. You know, and which says something to me about Travis Etienne right now is this is a good trade high time, but at the same time, you know, they say get out a year early, you're a couple years early. So you might want to hang on to him, you know, this year and next, I would say. But that's my take. Let's do one with wide receivers.
Okay,
I've
better than
I've
again.
seen I've seen Stefon Diggs traded, and I'm gonna scroll down a little bit and say Stefon Diggs for Garrett Wilson. What do you want? How do we even out this trade?
You're gonna get Garrett Wilson, and I'm gonna give you Stefon Diggs. Is that what we're doing? That's a scenario here.
Yeah.
All right. If I'm giving you Garrett Wilson, I'm also gonna need two firsts. Yeah, two firsts.
For Stefon Diggs.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm smashing the reject button on that one. My thought process there is Garrett Wilson, again, 23 years old. He's the future of my franchise. You know, wait, you're giving me, sorry, you're saying it the opposite way. I'm giving you Stefon Diggs and I'm getting Garrett Wilson. So I'm giving up Stefon Diggs, two firsts for Garrett Wilson, you're saying.
Yeah.
Okay. That I think is more in the realm of what I'm thinking. That being said, I still think I do smash the reject button.
Oh, so you want to give me a second as well? I understand. Go ahead, send it over.
So my argument for you, and obviously it depends on what our situation is, but if we're coming to the table with this trade, I would assume that I'm not in win now and you are. So you're looking to win right now with Stephon Diggs, and I'm looking to build up a youthful team for years to come with Garrett Wilson. Honestly, for me, this trade is even Steven. I don't know that I think I'd want a one for one trade here. And if there's gonna be any, if there's gonna be anything, if I'm getting Garrett Wilson, I probably should be giving up just a little bit more, just because of that longevity. But Stephon Diggs is much better right now than Garrett Wilson is the 34th best wide receiver. Stephon Diggs is the, I believe, the second best wide receiver on the year. So there's definitely a tier difference still in this current year, especially you look at the quarterbacks. You know, it's a good bet that Stephon Diggs is going to have the better year.
That's a
So,
fact.
yeah. So even pretty even Steven for me. Let's look at one more on the wide receivers because I feel like they're just so interesting. Chris Olave
Ooh.
and God, he's one that I this is a guy that I just look away from every time I see him. Chris Olave for T. Higgins.
Oh, yeah, you're gonna have to give me your whole squad. I'm just joking.
So yeah, you're giving up Chris Olave. I'm giving up T. Higgins. What else do I, is it even? Do I need to give you more? Do I need to give you less?
You got to give me
You,
two more first round picks.
okay.
At minimum
Okay.
one. At minimum one, but I
Yeah.
want two. And the reason is because Olave, man, he's just a beautiful route runner. He's streaky, he's fast, good hands and everything. It's just for some reason it's a there's a disconnect with Derek Carr. I know that. But it doesn't take away from his talent. And when that connection starts coming, then he's gonna just be producing like crazy. When it comes to T. Higgins, he's wide receiver number two. Olave is the number one. I know Michael Thomas is like the number one, but no, Olave is really the number one, right? So for
Dude,
me, that
Olave has had 5 games with over 10 targets or 10 or more targets. That's insane.
yeah.
That's in last week, it was 15 targets. And guess how many yards he got off of that?
80.
57.
I think it was low.
Yeah, 7 receptions, though, still. I mean, so he caught like half the balls. Oh my God, that's horrible. This something's going on there. That Derek Carr man is oh. Uh-oh. I did
What?
not see this news 2 days ago. Wow, this is old news. Chris
Olave's
Olave
out.
got arrested.
Oh yeah. Yeah, I didn't hear about that, but you can have him for T. Higgins straight up. Yeah, of course.
It looks like it was just speeding.
Oh, so
Now,
he's on the field. And he forgot he was in the car. Okay.
yeah,
Okay, no, we go.
30,
Yeah, so we
35
gonna need those
miles.
two first.
He was driving for 35 miles an hour over the speed limit.
Oh, okay, yeah, he really thought he was on the field again. That's why. Okay, I understand. Sometimes he
Yeah.
gets confused about where he's at in life. So.
Yeah. All right. So some good discussions there. I think you're probably onto something with T. Higgins. He does go elsewhere from Cincinnati next year, most likely. So it'll be interesting to see how that turns out. I think I would, if I was the Chris Olave owner, I'd want at least the first. Yeah.
You know the crazy thing? I would want a first mainly because if I had it, I'd trade away my first to get the number one pick so I can get a, just because of this draft, so I can pick up Harrison. And it's funny, if I had enough first round picks, I'd pick up Harrison and Ibaka. Give me both. So that would make up
That's
for
fair.
it. So that's why.
Honestly, I will say, I'm just throwing this out there because I do have Chris Olave in our league, and our the only guest we've had so far on this podcast, John Buono, does have T. Higgins. So if he's still listening, he could trade me. I don't know that I'd do it, okay, to be fair, but I do kind of like that as a move, because you get T. Higgins, who could go to a new team, could be a number one wide receiver on a team, and you get a first for a guy in Chris Olave that you're liking, but you're just hoping and praying that he actually gets a good quarterback anytime soon. So I don't know, but you're kind of hoping and praying with T. Higgins too. So it's a crapshoot for sure, but yeah, maybe I'd want, like, I don't know. Yeah, I'm you almost might want like a second as well, just to kind of make yourself feel better.
First and the first. If I need two firsts, if you can't do that, I'm gonna need a first and 3 seconds.
3 seconds. Oh my gosh, you remember when you traded me 3 seconds last year?
Who, me?
Yeah, I think it was three. It might have been two, but it was
Dumb.
multiple seconds
Well, over
mid-draft.
multiple years. It was over multiple years, that's why.
No, it was in the same draft, man.
And I'm
We
stupid.
gotta revisit. That was for Mike Williams, and plus
Yeah, he
the
got injured. You knew something. You were a scumbag.
That's me. I
Yeah.
see the future now, guys. All right, we're getting out of here. We're getting out of here. Yeah, you're the one that's supposed to sign people out. So send the good folks out.
All right, y'all. That's our podcast. That's all I got.
Wow, you just skipped so much.
I know my
Thank.
phone's too high and I can't pull up my blurb.
Oh my gosh, I'll don't worry, I got it. I'll
Say a
cover
screen
you.
or something.
Here. No, I'm just gonna read it. Thank you everyone for joining us. Next week we're talking weeks 8 and 9. Don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review the podcast wherever you listen. Now you can say your piece, Chib.
Don't forget, y'all. Choose love and spread happiness.
So close, so close. Give him hell.